Again, what a day that will be when we get to heaven. And before we do anything else, we'll want to see our Savior first of all. And as you're being seated and finding your place in your Bibles, you can take your Bibles this morning and turn with us. And we're going to be in the minor prophet book of Haggai this morning. The minor prophet book of Haggai, and we'll be there momentarily. And this morning's service, of course, we find it to be a little bit different. Of course, we're meeting on a Saturday. Things are a little bit more informal. And you know, we were talking before the service this morning that, you know, the Lord has a sense of humor. I believe that the Lord has a sense of humor. And I mean, all we have to do is look in the mirror when we wake up any given morning and know that he has that sense of humor. And we were talking, I've been keeping an eye on the Philadelphia forecast a little bit. And just because they're known there to sometimes predict more than what actually happens when it comes to snowfall. And sure enough, they started out with this high number of what they were expecting. And now they're, you know, they've slowly been lowering it. And then last night, they lowered it again. And so I just made the comment this morning, you know, the Lord's sense of humor. We wake up tomorrow morning and we don't have a trace of snow whatsoever. It just kind of gets over us, fizzles out, blows out, whatever the case may be. But we're here, we're meeting on a Saturday, in preparation that we're going to get a big snowstorm tomorrow. And this message is not what I had originally planned. Of course, we're in a series on biblical principles for daily living. And this morning, we were going to look at the thought of Bible principles or principles of time management. That's where we were originally going. But then this thought that we're going to look at this morning came late last night. I was getting ready for the service last night and finishing some things up, and went to go and lay down about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and was about to call it a night. And so I'm laying there in bed and I'm going through my notes for the principles of time management, and I was reading that, and I'd been looking earlier in the night at some old photos of the church I grew up back in Philadelphia, and I was looking at those. And so the Lord just wouldn't let me get around this thought that he laid on my heart. And sometimes, you know, you just have to follow the Lord and just kind of throw out the outline. So early this morning, about 3:30, 4 o'clock, I got up and I started sketching out a very rough couple of notes that I could bounce off of and refer to, so I wouldn't be kind of all over the place with the thought this morning. But you know, sometimes you just gotta follow the Lord's leading when he prompts you to do that. And the overall message, the overall theme is still going to be the same. It's still dealing with a Bible principle. It's still dealing with time management, but it's just from a different angle. And so, again, as I said, last night I was finishing up, getting ready for this morning, and I was going back. I was looking at some old photos of the church that I grew up at back in Philadelphia, and make no mistake about it, Manny and I, we have loved every place that we have served. We love it here. We love you folks. And we love the folks in Oklahoma. Brother Bob, he still calls on a regular basis. He still texts on a regular basis. Here most recently, it's been because the Eagles got knocked out of the playoffs. He called and wanted to see if I needed some therapy sessions or whatever the case may be. And so, and then back on our anniversary, he called and Every anniversary, every birthday, he'll call and sing us happy anniversary or sing us happy birthday or what the case may be. And so we miss the folks there in Oklahoma and we love being here. We love you folks. But at the same time, I still find myself missing Philly at times. I miss the people there. I miss the feeling that particular church has. And, you know, we all have places like that in our life. If I were, you know, if we were to take the time and talk about places that we've been in our life and places that hold a special place in our heart, you know, I'm sure each one of us here has a place that we can think back on that gives us fond memories and warm feelings and warm memories. And we just think, you know what, man, we love where we're at, but, you know, we miss this place. And, you know, I miss the people. I miss the family feel, miss those seasons of life when we just knew that God, he was doing something special among his people there in South Philadelphia. And especially here recently, a number of folks that made up that time, you know, as it is just in growing up and growing older, a lot of those folks now, they are no longer there. Some have moved out of the area. Some have moved into assisted living homes. Some have passed away, and some have went home to be with the Lord. The man who led me to the Lord, one of the deacons at the church there, Brian Bennett, he has passed away. He has went home to be with the Lord. Our church secretary, Miss Alice, at the time, our pastor, he lived in New Jersey. So he was about, you know, he was a good 20, 30 minutes away from the church, and was only usually in on Tuesdays and Wednesdays for church, and then Saturdays, and then on Sundays for service. And so a good majority of the week, it was, you know, Miss Alice and myself, we were the ones, you know, there working at the church and doing different things. And so we'd be there, and then, you know, we would go out to lunch or, you know, whatever the case may be. And now she has went home to be with the Lord. And so, and just looking at those photos and looking at those old photos, it reminded me that church is not just a building. Church is its people, its families. It's time spent together that God uses to shape us, that God uses to mold us and to make us into who it is that he wants us to be. And it was that reflection and that thought that led me to start thinking about time and priorities and, you know, what we choose to build and what we choose to put our energy into. And that brings us here to the book of Haggai here this morning. So you're there, Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, it's a very short book, just two chapters. Chapter 1, 15 verses. Chapter 2, 23 verses. And we're just going to look at the entirety of chapter 1 this morning of the book of Haggai, chapter number 1. The Bible says there, in the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house, talking about the house of the Lord, lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye have not, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God, in the 24th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. There's two verses here where the Lord encourages the people, consider your ways. And there in verse number 2, the Bible says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, verse number 4, it is time for you. For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach us this thought, time management and the house of God. Time management and the house of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word, to see a truth that might help us be the church and the Christian that have us to be. And now, Father, I just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. And the Lord, may the message this morning be a help, a challenge, and encouragement to these your people. And Father, now we just pray you be with us in a special and real way, as only you can. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. May the words I speak be those of you and you alone. Help me to say those things which need to be said, and help me to refrain from those things which need not be said. And Lord, if there be one here this morning that know not Christ, we pray that not leave this place without getting it settled 100% sure. And Lord, if there be one here that need to hear from you, we pray, Lord, they find encouragement in your word this morning. And now, Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll love you and thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The book of Haggai was written, of course, by the prophet Haggai. It was written sometime around 520 to 519 BC. It was, of course, during the early years of the Jewish return from Babylonian captivity. And his ministry, Haggai's, it was a very brief ministry. It was a very short ministry. It was a very small ministry, lasting only about 4 months. That's all it was, 4 months. But in that 4 month time frame, it was a very effective time of ministry. And it was a time when very much got done for the honor and glory of God. And God used Haggai along with Zechariah to awaken the Jews who had returned from the captivity. They had returned, and when they had returned, they found themselves in a very spiritual, complacent state. And so God would use Haggai, he would use Zechariah to awaken these Jewish people out of their spiritual complacency, to move them to resume rebuilding the temple, a project that up to this point that had been abandoned for about anywhere from 10 to 20 years. So from about 10 to 20 years, this project was just left untouched. And then in a span of 4 months, God's house would be rebuilt under Haggai. And so we see after returning to Judah, the Jews initially, they found themselves prosperous. They enjoyed a very lucrative time, as it were. But over time, and as the years went on, opposition, fear, comfort caused them to neglect God's house. Now, for us, we can kind of attest to the same thing. In our day and age, it's more so comfort than anything else. And especially back during COVID, when churches shut down, we got used to church on the couch, where we could just kind of roll out of bed, stay in our pajamas, turn on a TV screen, and watch church that way. And that those effects are still felt today. And someday there might come a day where we have opposition to church, that we have where we have fear, and we fear coming to church. First time I can ever remember anything like it happening in history, a church there in St. Paul, Minnesota. They were trying to have their church service, and these protesters barged in and just disrupted their church service. Well, I believe that as we get closer and closer to return of the Lord Jesus Christ to take us home, you know, I believe that we'll see more of that in these last days. And, you know, there needs to be a preparedness with God's people for those times. And but the answer is not to neglect God's house just out of opposition. The answer is not just to, well, because we fear to stay away from God's house. And it's certainly not because, well, it's just more comfortable to stay home. I told a story this morning. We were made the decision to have church today, Manny and I, we were talking, and Manny said, you're really going to make people come out? It's going to be it's going to feel like it's below zero. It's going to be, you know, it's so cold. And I don't know what came over me. I just, you know, it was, you know, in jest and joking. But I said, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he saved us so that we could be saved from burning in a hot destination, and saved us from hell. You know, we can, you know, freeze a little bit and come into church where it's nice and warm, and come and worship the Lord. But here the Jewish people, they initially prospered, but now they're in a time of neglect of God's house. And Haggai, he deals with that. Well, while they're building their well-paneled homes, they're establishing businesses, they are settled comfortably into life, the temple of God has remained desolate. The temple of God, the house of God, has remained barren. And though political conditions had changed, and the work, and this is what we have to understand here, this was under King Darius. You see that in verse number 1, in the second year of Darius the king. So this was a time when they could build the house of God. There was no opposition to them rebuilding the house of God. They just chose not to rebuild the house of God. It was a willful neglect. And the people continued to say, the time is not come, verse number 2, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And so God, he responds. And he responds by allowing economic hardship, such as poor harvest, such as financial strain, such as drought and lack to get their attention. And it's through Haggai that the Lord directly connected their material trouble with their spiritual neglect, repeatedly commanding them to consider your ways. Their labor produced little because God himself was withholding blessing due to misplaced priorities. And it was with this backdrop in mind I had this thought of time management in the house of God. We know that God created three institutions. He created the family, he created the church, and he created human government. And it was in that order. He created family first, followed by the church, and then followed by government. And it's that order that matters. I've heard it said, I've taught it, that as the family goes, so goes the church, and as the church goes, so goes the nation. And unfortunately, many churches reverse that order. And something we have to understand this morning is that when families are strong and when families are healthy, then churches are healthy and churches are strong. And when churches are healthy and when churches are strong, then society and the world can be influenced for good. But what many churches do is they put church before family and they run their people into the ground, and therefore burnout becomes spiritual, it becomes emotional, it becomes physical, and then people, they wonder why marriages suffer, they wonder why kids resent church and rebel against church, and then they wonder, well, why the joy disappears. I once heard it said this way, and it's stuck with me all these years. And I remember the name of the preacher who said it. He pastored Shenandoah Valley Baptist Church down in West Virginia. But he said, you don't use people to build a great church. You use the church to build a great people. You don't use people to build a great church. You use the church to build great people. And that's the biblical model. That's the biblical truth. And biblical balance is not burnout. We could go around the room and we could list all of the different hats that everybody wears here in the church. Because, you know, we don't suffer from a lack of not being busy. We all have things that, you know, keep us busy. Myself personally, I pastor Sarah First Baptist Church. This year I've taken on the role of vice president at the Bridge, and that has been without a doubt 1 month into the new year, and I have already lost count of how many meetings we have had here in 1 month in, and that has taken up a lot of time and energy and effort. Also this year, took on the role of a college administrator, volunteering a couple times a month, about four times a month over at the hospital, prepare sermons, make visits, funerals, handle the administrative work of the website, the Facebook page, designing graphics, the bulletin, Myself, I'm back in college working towards my bachelor's and my master's degree in biblical studies, funerals. And then on top of all of that, the ministry work. We have dialysis treatments 4 times a week with setup, treatment, teardown. That's 6 hours per treatment. So 6 times 4, what is that, 36 or something like that? 6 times 4. And then Mandy, she works a full 40-hour week. And so by the time we finally get to spend time with each other, we're just usually just wiped out and tired. And, you know, we just like to kind of sit back and veg on the couch and catch up on whatever we may have been watching, YouTube videos, or a couple years ago, we got a PlayStation for Christmas. And just this other day, I looked over at it, and it had been so long since I had played it. It was dusty, and the area around it was dusty. And I thought, man, how does it get so dusty in here so quick? And so when I do have time, I like to, and recently it's just been putting on and playing some games of Madden football and enjoying time that way, or, you know, whatever the case may be. So, you know, we're busy, and you're busy, and you know, you know, early on in my ministry, I thought that, you know, I had to answer every call, you know, every call immediately. I thought I had to answer every text message immediately. I thought I had to answer every email immediately, attend every event and everything that was going on, and never say no. But I learned over time that that is not sustainable, that it's not wise. It's not, you know, and some pastors live that way. They never take a day off. They're available 24/7. And well, you know, that's just not me. I'm not that pastor, that, because we look in Scripture and we see the biblical pattern. And that's why God gave the church deacons and lay leaders, and the pastor was never meant to do everything. And that's not weakness. That's not laziness. That's biblical. And the same translates to deacons and lay leaders and Sunday school teachers and people within the church. God never made it so that every ministry was put on one person. And one of the things that we encourage people with, and I try and encourage new people with, especially, and because new people, they come and they join a church, and they're excited about you know, maybe getting involved and serving, and I one of the first conversations I have with them is, listen, you find out where it is you want to serve, and where you feel the Lord would have you to serve and use your talents. But don't feel like you have to do everything, because that is how we wind up with folks who burn out, and you know, they just, instead of staying faithful, all of a sudden they start finding their way out the door. Jesus himself said, "Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while." God the Father, with the 7 days of creation, the seventh day he rested. He gave us the principle in Scripture of rest. And listen, rest is not laziness. Rest is obedience. And so we see in Scripture, it's family first, ministry second. Family comes first, ministry and church come second. And that's important, because if you get a burned out family, that's going to lead to a burned out church. And what good is a burned out church for a lost and dying world? We need people who are on fire for the Lord, and who are able to make a difference in the lives of those that come through those doors. And so that's why, and listen, a lot of churches, they are guilty and pastors are guilty of shaming their people into spending every waking moment at the church. Guilt them to shame them. And listen, I will never shame somebody or guilt somebody into serving the Lord. We should want to serve the Lord because He called us to do that. And we just want to serve Him because we love Him, because He loved us. And I've learned that, you know, if you really love the Lord and you know, people who love the Lord, they don't have to be, you know, guilt-tripped in the serving Him. They're just going to serve Him and do what the Lord wants them to do. That's why, you know, we were at a bridge meeting back in November, and we got to talking. I got to talking with one of the ladies there, and I forget what church she's a part of, and she was saying, oh yeah, around December, you know, the holidays, we really get busy, and you know, by the time January comes, all of our volunteers, they're just wiped out. And the Sunday after Christmas, or no, the Sunday of Christmas, I saw something. I was over at the hospital, and I was sitting in the cafeteria, and I saw something on Facebook, a church in Buffalo, I think it was, or Rochester. They said, to give our staff a break from the production of our services, we're not going to have church today. And rightfully so, they got a lot of comments saying, well, what happened to just showing up, singing some hymns, and preaching the Bible? Whatever just, you know, happened to that? You know, not every week needs to be a production. Not every week needs to, you know, have a children's church. Not every week needs to have, you know, it's okay sometimes let the children sit in church and in big people church, so to speak, and let them get used to sitting in church. And so that, you know, they can learn that, because, you know, someday, you know, they're going to turn 18, and guess what? Children's church is going to kick them out, and they're going to have to come sit in big church anyway. That's why, you know, around here, and I got this again from the church in Philadelphia, we intentionally slow down around the holidays. We don't do much around Thanksgiving or Christmas because we want it focused on what it's supposed to be about the Lord, about spending time with family. I remember there in Philadelphia, the week of Thanksgiving, Tuesday, We'd have our praise, preaching, and pie service. But the Monday, we'd come in, and the week before, maybe a Thursday, Friday, we went and the week of Thanksgiving, we would get together, and we had a list of people within the church who we identified as could probably use some help around Thanksgiving. And so the week before, we'd go out and we'd get about 10 or 15 turkeys, and then that Monday we'd come and we would box up some canned goods and a turkey, and then that Monday we would go around and we would deliver Thanksgiving baskets. And so that was our Monday. And then Tuesday, praise, preaching, and pie. But then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, nothing was going on. And then Sunday, of course, we would have church. And then around Christmas again, we'd have our Christmas Eve candlelight service. If Christmas fell on a Sunday, we had our Sunday morning service. And then after service, for those that did not have something to do, or they just wanted to stay, we'd have lunch down in the fellowship hall. We'd have a Christmas lunch down in the fellowship hall, and we would enjoy fellowship with one another. But again, it was about focusing on Christ. It was about focusing on the true meaning of the season. And again, a burned out family leads to a burned out church. And so, you know, one of the things as a pastor, I want to make sure that we're following, and me especially, biblical principles so that I can continue to be here for people in the long term, a longevity in ministry, about being here for years to come. But that can't be accomplished. That can't be done if there's no rest. And listen, the statistics are not hard to find year after year. More and more pastors, young pastors especially, they're not lasting. They're not staying in ministry. And a biblical balance matters. And so, say all that to say this. Because here in the book of Haggai, we find a people that they are using balance as an excuse. And this is where we tie it all together. And this is where the challenge now comes. And this is where Haggai speaks very clearly. And the problem in Haggai, it was not laziness, it was not poverty, it was not exhaustion, it was misplaced priorities. The people were busy, the people were productive, they were building, but they were building their own houses, they were settling into life, they were doing well while the house of God lay in ruins. And God's repeated command to them was just a simple one. Consider your ways. Because here's where they were using balance as an excuse. And here's where we sometimes use balance as an excuse. You know, sometimes we don't see somebody in church and we think, man, well, where is so-and-so? And we call up and we ask them and we talk to them. And they say, Pastor, I was just taking your advice. I was putting family first. But by not being in church, because the Bible still commands in Hebrews 10:25, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as manner of some is, but so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. And listen, one of the ways we put family first is by getting family in church. One of the ways we put family first and having a strong family and having a family that is what they should be is by getting them in church. And so there's a that's where the balance is not, is not the argument. The balance is the extras that churches do. The one non-negotiable in it is our church attendance and our faithfulness to church. And some folks, they go on vacation. Well, wonderful, go on vacation, but make sure you find a church while you're on vacation, if you're going to be gone a Sunday or a Wednesday. Make sure you find a church to be a part of. That phrase there, there in verse number 5. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse number 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That phrase, consider your ways, means more than just think about it. What Haggai is saying here is to lay it to heart. Lay it to heart. In other words, stop, evaluate, be honest. Notice verse number 6. Haggai chapter 1, verse number 6. The Bible says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. We find here and we see we have a people who are busy but empty. Busy but empty. Ye have sown much and bring in little. You earn wages, but you earn it in such a way that it's like you're putting your wages into a bag with holes. In other words, just as soon as you have it, as soon as it goes out. They worked hard, but nothing satisfied. We have people like that today. They're such workaholics. And they think if they'll just work and work and work and work, it'll satisfy and it'll make them happy. Their schedules were full. But somewhere their lives still felt empty. And that's because a full schedule without God leads to an empty life. You can be busy and busy and busy and busy and be a workaholic, but if you never leave time for God, you will have an empty life. Being busy does not mean being blessed. You can spend a lot of time and still get very little in return when God is not first. We had people at the church in Oklahoma, they were considering moving for work, for their career. And I remember them coming and asking my opinion on it. And my first question was, and I forget where they were moving, but my first question was, well, do you have a church in so-and-so? And they said, well, no, don't have a church yet. And my first piece of advice was, well, before you even look at moving for the job, you better make sure that there's a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church where it is you're moving to. How many people, they move somewhere, they uproot their entire family. And they move to a place and they leave behind a good church and they get to this new place and, well, they find out very quickly there aren't that many Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. But then notice, not only are they busy but empty, but notice verse number 9. Haggai chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house." You notice that word "run" there. The people, they had energy, they had time, but they just used it on themselves. When we always have time for ourselves, but no time for God, God takes notice. And now listen, it's important to take time for yourself. It's important to take that time of rest. But are you taking time for God? And so we see God's solution as they're running to the wrong priorities. And God, he doesn't leave them guessing. Notice what he tells them in verse number 8. He says, "Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house." Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house. And then he adds the promise. Last part of verse number 9, or verse number 8. "And I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. And so the Lord says to the people through Haggai, he says, here's what you got to do. It's well past time that my house takes priority. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build the house. And if you do that, I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified. We see here, God did not promise bigger houses. He did not promise easier lives. He did not promise instant comfort. Instead, he promised something better. He promised his pleasure and his presence. Folks, you could have the biggest house, you could have the easiest life, you could have the instant, you could have the most comfort you could possibly think of. But what good is it if God's not happy with you? What good is it if you don't have God's presence in your life? I don't know about you, but I'd take a little shack. I'd take a hard life. I'd take no comforts. But if God was happy with me, if I had God's presence, I'd be a very rich man. And if you had God's happiness with you, if you have God's presence with you, you're a very rich man too. You're a very rich, rich woman. Nothing in your schedule matters more than pleasing God. Nothing in your schedule matters more than pleasing God. And listen, God here, he wasn't asking for perfection. He wasn't asking for burnout. All he was asking for was for priority. Colossians said, in all things, he might have the preeminence. God is not asking for everything. Listen, he's already given us everything through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his death on the cross for your sin and my sin. But he does refuse to be last. So we see this morning the heart of time management. This message is not really about calendars or planners. It's about hearts. You see, time mismanagement is usually not a time problem whatsoever. It's a priority problem. God does not ask you how busy you are. He asks where your time is going. As you plan your week, nothing in that schedule matters more than pleasing God. Nothing. And so, like the people in Haggai's time, consider your ways. God is not against strong families. In fact, he's for strong families. God is not against rest. He's for rest. God is not against balance. But he will not be forgotten. And so the question this morning isn't, are you doing too much? The real question is, what gets your best time and what gets your leftovers? Consider your ways. Build the house. Not at the expense of your family. Not in burnout, but not neglected either. May the Lord bless. his message this morning. Let's pray.